There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
The Alcohol Forum of Ireland wants to regulate teenage discos, or wants to control teenage discos. Paula Leonard and I have spoken before about this. I would have been in a previous life, Paula, I'd probably have been the DJ at some of these teenage discos. So I'm kind of wondering what was so wrong with them, looking back now. But take it up from there. What is so wrong with teenage discos? Good morning.
Good morning. I think teenage discos are really important. I think they're great. I think they are a really important and fundamental rite of passage for teenagers in Ireland. And they have been that for a very long time. In fact, back to even the late 1970s. So, you know, I'm a bit older, I suppose, but my experiences of teenage discos were of relatively small events, do you know what I mean? Where there were people I knew, where there were probably older siblings or, you know, people keeping an eye on you, where you were being picked up by your parents, where you were being supervised possibly by volunteers or people in your local sports club or whoever was running the event. And I think those events at that time were very much run thinking about children, the recreational lives of children, and what we wanted to see for our children and young people. They were a place where people were taking risks. There was alcohol involved on occasion. There was all of those things happening. But this is a question of scale, and this is a question of regulation and children's rights and children, the protection of children. What we have had happened in this country in 2003, the law was changed, alcohol licensing law was changed, a small amendment at that time, so that children were allowed to be on a licensed premises where their parents weren't present. And it said, you know, that law was interpreted by the Gardaí at the time that that was up until 9 o'clock. The DPP the following year, and Michael McDougall was back then the Minister for Justice, disagreed with that interpretation. And, you know, the DPP's position was actually children can be on licensed premises, adult, you know, premises that are designed for adults, environments that are designed for adults. They can be there at any hour whatsoever, as long as alcohol isn't being sold. So that sort of opened the floodgates. And I think a really sad thing, and you were saying you were used to DJ yourself, I think the thing is that what has happened since then is that nightclubs are on their knees. The nightclub scene in Ireland is in trouble. We have, you know, very few nightclubs left now in this country. But the upcoming proposals that change the alcohol licensing laws in this country, they're not going to save them. What they're proposing is that they'll open them till, you know, 5:30 you can serve alcohol, and at 6, you know, 6 a.m. they can be open till.
Well, they're saying, Paula, that they can be. They're not saying that they will be.
Yeah. But feasibly, on a for-profit model is what these large-scale teenage events are now being run. Are feasibly we going to have children until those hours? So what we're just saying is simply, you need to tighten this up. You need to put in a few paragraphs into the intoxicating liquor bill that deal with teenage discos. You need to say, what's the youngest age that somebody can be at them?
Because there's a thing. Nightclubs, the nightclubs of Cork, the few that are left, and to be fair, when there were many more, I was working in most of them. Nobody that goes to a teenage disco would get inside the door of them.
No, No, but these exactly. And I mean, I suppose in my day, we were in adult nightclubs, probably underage, and that probably wasn't right either. Do you know what I mean? At 16, 17. But what we are seeing, and we have carried out research, and Dr. Grainne Kettler from the ATU worked with me on this report, did talk to young people, did talk to, you know, frontline service providers. She talked to sexual assault treatment units. She talked to the Gardaí. She talked to people involved in the trade and the running of these. She talked to parents. And what people are very concerned about is we don't have a lower age limit. You know, because so at the moment, you could have up to 2,000, 2,500 young people at these events. You could have 11-year-olds in the same premises socialising and mixing with 2,500 other young people with very light touch supervision. With teenagers up to 17 years of age, feasibly. So we're not saying that's happening all the time, but why would we not have a guideline on it? We have guidelines for childcare providers. We have them for schools. We have them for health settings. We have them for youth work settings. We have them for the local GAA club. We have them for the local soccer club, karate club, swimming, whatever it is. We have adult to child ratios.
The organisers would need to keep the kids safe. One thing that you'll never change,
absolutely,
I suspect, Paula, because it was happening in my time and it's happening now, even though they didn't have a name for it in my time, prinking. You can't stop them filling up with booze before they come to the event. No matter, even if all you're serving there is water, you can't stop them filling up with booze.
I suppose the care and the protection of children is everybody's responsibility. So it starts with parents, it runs to schools, it runs to, you know, youth work services, it runs to the people who run the buses to these events, it runs to the guards. In terms of, you know, if children are turned away from being intoxicated, they're out on the street at risk, it runs to the venues. What we're simply saying is build those child protection safeguards into the law and demand that there are some sort of guidelines around these. Unfortunately, we've had reports and there have been prosecutions, you know, reported where young girls have not got in to these nightclubs because they're intoxicated, they've been turned away. So the nightclub venue is saying, well, they're not our responsibility. They're drunk and we're not serving alcohol in here. It's too much trouble. Those young people then came on a bus, travelled, you know, long distances to get there. They're wandering around the streets, highly intoxicated. And we have had some serious sexual assaults on young people who have not been able to gain entry. So, you know...
How do you stop that from happening, Paula?
So, you know, you introduce safety guidelines. You ask premises that are running these to have a child safeguarding policy, to have a, you know, to have a child safeguarding statement for how they're going to manage it. So some venues have really good practice. Some venues have a safe area, a room allocated where there are, you know, adults present. If somebody shows up intoxicated, they're not allowed into the venue, but they're allowed into this room. Parents are rang. If parents can't be got, guards are rang, and there are safety measures. But those are the good practices. Why would we not have those as very named, cleared guidelines?
And do you want to legislate for those practices? Say that if I take over my local GAA pavilion for a teenage disco, that I would need to provide something like a dressing room where
Absolutely.
There would be adults in charge in case anyone arrives.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Is drunk?
Absolutely. Or somebody, you know, like children are getting separated from their friends because friends are getting in and somebody is rambling about, you know, very intoxicating the line and they're not. So, I mean, at the moment, I think some nightclubs are saying, well, I'm not letting them in because I'm not supposed to be serving alcohol. You know, I'm not supposed to have intoxicated children on my premises. But they still should have a clearly mandated and legislated for responsibility for those children. Because the care and the safety of children in this country is everyone's responsibility.
Indeed.
That's what the child protection legislation is about.
Have you spoken to, say, the likes of Tusla about this?
Yeah, we have, but I think the thing that really shocked me, I suppose, in looking at and writing this report is that we did a deep dive and a root and branch review of policy in Ireland. So we've had research in Ireland that said since 1984, these have been one of the two most popular activities that children like, right? So that was research done a long time ago. There is no policy in Tusla, in the Department of Health, in the HSE, in the Department of Children, in the Department of Justice in relation to alcohol licensing law. There is no policy in relation to how we in this country run, manage and keep safe children who are attending underage events in licensed premises. And I think that's quite shocking. There was one reference in a national young people's recreational policy back in 2007. And that made a number of recommendations around safety and how safety would be managed at these events. But that policy was never resourced. It was never renewed. It was never evaluated. And the teenage disco somehow is like this blind spot in Irish policy. Mm-hmm. So what we're just saying to the minister is 20 years after Minister McDougall, you know, made amendments to the legislation, you now have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to close some of those loopholes and to take very seriously the protection of children.
So that an event would not...
Government does.
I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but are you suggesting that an event would not go ahead, be it at a regular nightclub or at a temporary venue like a GAA club or a community hall, wherever these things happen, that they would not go ahead without the provision of a safety centre, so to speak?
Without having a child safeguarding plan. So if I wanted to run, I'm thinking youth organisations run things like parties in the park in the summer or any of those things, you know, alcohol-free events. They have to have what's called a child safeguarding statement to say how they're going to manage children, how they're going to manage unsupervised children, unruly children, somebody who's injured, somebody who's in distress, somebody who's had something to happen to them. So what we're saying is just take those standards and apply them to this social space that children are, okay, you know, really going to quite a lot. They're paying €20 a pop to go to these events. So it's €20 a pop. And if there's 2,000 people, there's a lot of money being made.
Yeah.
You know, there's an awful lot of money being made for nighttime economy that's on its knees.
So would you expect people, organisers, yes, for example, to have something like a safety statement, a safety mission statement? You could
absolutely
run, you could run the gauntlet, Paula, and I'm not making the accusation, but you could run the gauntlet of being accused of a nanny state approach. Teenage years are rebellious years.
Yeah.
And you experiment and you do things you normally wouldn't, and you get it. And I remember my teenage years. Now, I didn't drink until I was 17, but like, your teen, and the more rules are put up there, the harder you work to try to break them.
Absolutely. It's your job as a teenager to push the boundaries, and it's our job as adults to hold a line. You know, we have people, risk actually is a really fundamental part of growing up. So it's about developing independence, but also at a brain development level. Taking risks is really, it's a really important part of those teenage years. But you can't have risks that aren't managed. You can't have risks that you don't think about. So if I want to take somebody cliff jumping or jumping off piers, and I taught swimming and did things like that for years, you had to have a safety statement. You had to have a plan. What do you do if things go wrong?
You know how litigious people are in 2024, Paula. And I'm just going to throw scenario at you here now, and I'm long enough around the block to know, don't rule it out. So, you have a teenage disco, and you have this safety space, safety room, safety mission, call it what you will. A young girl of 15 or 16 goes along to one of these events, and she goes into the safety room and whatever. Or, what happens? She gets assaulted outside, sexually assaulted, or she ends up, worse again, pregnant after one of these things. What's to stop a litigious parent coming back on the organisers and saying, you didn't protect my daughter?
Absolutely. But, you know, this is about taking a rational, reasoned and sensible approach to how we do this. So you never get rid of risk. You know, risk, I suppose, in managing an organisation, you think about, well, how
life
do you
life without risk would be a silly life. We all need to...
Yeah, but also we work... Yeah, but we work as a charity. We work with very vulnerable people. We work with people who have an alcohol-related brain injury. We work with families where there is, you know, breakdown in relationships, where there's family conflict, where there's family violence as a result of parental alcohol or other drug addiction. And everything we do, we have to think about, well, how do we manage risk? How do I have a lone worker going out into that home? What is my safety statement around that? What is my risk assessment around that? So I don't think anyone who has a license to sell alcohol has to go back into the court every September to renew that license and say, I am a fit person to be running this. I have run a good venue and I'm good of good character. What would be wrong with requiring people to say, well, actually, over the next 12 months, I'm going to run, you know, underage events and I'm going to make a very good profit on it. But here's the risk mitigation measures that I'm going to put in place.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything too much in that. And I think the minister should see that it's just...
And lastly and briefly, Paula, it's a yes, no. You would like to see those safety procedures made mandatory.
I would.
Okay, leave it there. Thank you very much. That's interesting. Paula Leonard, CEO of the Alcohol Forum in Ireland, suggesting that teenage discos would not go ahead, be allowed to go ahead, be licensed, whatever they have to be, unless there is a mandatory provision of safety for youngsters who arrive drunk or who have an incident, or that you don't throw them out, for example, if they arrive drunk. You bring them into a safe room and call their parents or call the guards. She wants to make all of that mandatory.
Cork's 96 FM.